We're starting the first kina of the morning, Shavat Suhumeni. The kina describes, we have over here an extra copy of kinos. Yaakov, the green book over here is an extra copy of kinos. We're up to the sixth kina, the kina of the morning.
This is the first kina?
The first one of the morning, yes. Now, Shavat Suhumeni. Now, this kina really connects to the verses of Lamentations. We won't go into the connection exactly. The kina describes how Shavat, everything went silent. Surumeni, turn from me. Shimuni Ovrai, listen to me. Those who pass on me, pass by me. Sechiu Moose Simuni Bedrei Chaverai, I've been turned to filth. I've been turned to despicable dung as I am among the flocks of my fellow nations. Sakota mishkan misechot evirai. You closed your heaven from looking at my temple. And so the Navi describes how God has, so to speak, closed the doors and allowed destruction to envelop us. We move forward. Al har tzion tzadu. I'm going to the middle of the lamentation. Al har tzion tzadu she'onei medanai. On Mount Zion, my enemies lay an ambush. Tzafu al rashei tzion's donai. Within my people, I had enemies who were looking to the heads of Zion. Tzametu benov la'amod's donai. They stood at Nov, as we know, from Nov, they would look down on Jerusalem. Tzod natzalta le'orer midanai. You aroused the memory of my sin to arouse to my destruction. Tza'ak ami bimei ben dinai. And my nation cried out in the days of Ben Dinai. Ben Dinai was a well-known murderer who lived in the time of the temple. The Talmud discusses him. We learned a little bit about it in Sota and Iksubos. And he led a rebellion against the Romans. So tza'ak ami, my nation called out from the persecution of Ben Dinai. What did we call out? Tzadiku Hashem. And here the conclusion of the lamentation. Ermuni, you made people who should have been light, the Jewish people should have succeeded in escaping, but you weighed us down, and so the enemy was able to take off our glory. Keravta bo elai v'yachimuni, you brought the enemy close, so that they were able to devastate me. Karati roshve Gibon odem zermuni. I called out to the people of Gibon. They should have come for help. And on the contrary, they helped drown me. I cried out loud to Arabia. Kolila shmea ba'arav higrimuni. The Arabians joined in crushing us. That's the famous story. As we were exiled, we asked to pass by the people of Yishmael. And they stood there watching us being exiled. They enjoyed the sight, and then they decided they could do one better. So we were walking out naked, being led out into exile, and they came over to us with salty fish, and these pitchers that they had drawn on it would look like these pitchers were filled with water, when in fact, the pitchers were filled with old rancid air. And when they gave him to eat the salty fish, they said, but we're thirsty. They'll say, in a minute, eat some salty fish, then you'll drink. And then they'd open the flasks, drink in that air, and people would drop dead from that air. And so this is why we will repeat it throughout the Lamentations, that this is part of our destruction, that even our neighbors and our relatives, the nations we should have been close to, look to knock us down. We go on to the next lamentation. Echa atzta be'apecha. What this lamentation stresses is, we have a relationship. Hashem, how did you turn on us in such anger to exterminate us? Don't you remember we once had a real relationship? Echa atzta be'apecha. How did you rush in your anger? La'abid bi'ad adonim en munecha. We are your faithful people. You sent the Edomites to destroy us. Ve'lo zacharta brit ben abetarim. You didn't remember the covenant. Asher b'ralta livchunecha. You chose for us. You had tested Abraham. Uvechen bitinu. So we call out. Zechor Hashem me'ayalanu. Remember Hashem what we've undergone. Echa garta b'garatecha liglot bi'ad geim geulecha. How did you yell at us and exile us in the hands of arrogant ones? ולא זכרת דילוג דרך אשר דלגת להתגלך. Don't you remember how quickly you wanted to connect with us when we left Egypt? And so we call out, זכור השם מהיה לנו. And so this lamentation goes time again and says, God, how are you so upset at us? Look at our history. And how come nothing stood on our behalf? So Hashem concludes the lamentation and says, we still have a future together. It's not over. The next lamentation, A'ade adchug shamayim. So this lamentation is a powerful lamentation that discusses how we have to talk. If we think that we can turn to any constellation or any merit that will talk on our behalf, it's not going to work. One of the things that happens when we need to pray is that we don't feel like it. How many people finished Tehillim once in the last 3 weeks? We know there are soldiers whose lives are at risk. How many people Shmon Esrei lasted for 2 hours? But people's lives are at risk. There are missiles falling. It's so hard for us to arouse ourselves to prayer. And so this lamentation focuses on that. Ade, I wish I could soar adchug shamayim to the spheres of heaven. Aleiti shamayim, I would arouse the heavens to weep with me. A'o yom achivi pa'amayim, I'd curse that day in which I was destroyed twice. Etonen mi iten roshimayim, I weep. Woe that my head were a stream of water. Avchin vivchi lel midbar, in weeping I look at that night in the desert, how I caused all my weeping there. And so the lamentation goes on and describes how Azda kehufra aviyona. I'm skipping down a little bit to the letter Zayin. You notice it's in the letter of the Aleph base. After the letter Aleph, A'ade A'ale A'or, Avchin Evchana Avake. Yeah, and then Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, we're up to Zayin. Azda kehufra ha'aviyona. Ha'aviyona is the desirous temple. Yes? Aviyona. Yes? That's a code for the temple. Azda kehufra. We were exiled when the temple was destroyed. Ezkera ki ayiti mechutana. I would remember that I was once wed to the Torah. Azil pelagim kivrecha ha'eliyona. I would shed tears. That it's like a pool of water that's on top of a mountain. E'ego mi ten li ever kayona. I'd exclaim, I wish I had wings like a dove to fly up and escape my sorrows. And we go through here, we describe how even the merits of the forefathers are gone. We look forward to Hashem's salvation and we have to pray for it. Now we're going to skip forward a drop. We're skipping to the 10th lamentation. The 10th lamentation focuses on the Kohanim. Each family of Kohanim had another name based on the city they were from. They were each given a guard, 24 shifts, and each shift had a name. And this lamentation focuses on the weeping of each of the guards. So the concluding word of each stanza is the name of that guard. There are 24 stanzas. Each one speaks about a different guard and they're weeping at the destruction. Echa yashva chavatzil tasharon. How did the rose of the Sharon sit alone? V'damam ron mipinose aron. And those who carried the ark are now silenced. Ordinarily they'd sing the Levites. V'na'umi mishmeotam kohanim bnei aron. The Kohanim sons of Aaron were exiled from their watches. K'nimsar abayit mimsarvei maron. The temple was given over to the rebels of Maron. Our tradition is that the family of Maron were the Kohanim who were in charge of the temple when the Romans entered. And they were held accountable for different sins. And that's why it's described that the temple was given over in the rebellion of Maron. Now here the Navi, the Kina refers to a terrible sin we had. If you remember, there was a time when Atalia became queen and she murdered all the descendants of King David. You guys know what I'm talking about? Let's open a Navi.
All of them?
All but one. You guys know what I'm talking about? No, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, if we open the book of Kings.
We haven't got there in time.
That's true. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. Atalia, when her son Ahaziah died, she murdered everyone. And then one of the girls, Yehosheva, took her little brother, Yoash, and she hid him on top of the Holy of Holies for 6 years.
What?
They had a room on top of the Holy of Holies. And she hid him for 6 years while Atalia took the throne and murdered all her grandchildren.
Is that even allowed?
Everyone. Well, they had no choice. And then the priest, Yehoyada, in the seventh year, took the leadership and he made a rebellion and had Atalia executed and reinstated Yoash as king. Now, Yehoyada is the Kohen who saved his life, Yoash's life. Yehoyada is the high priest. And over here we don't see the continuation of the story. If we turn to Chronicles, we discover that after Yehoyada passed away, so then people came to Yoash, some of his officers, and they said, "You lived over the Holy of Holies for 6 years? You must be a god." And they wanted to worship him. And along came Yehoyada's son, Zechariah, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, and said, "You guys can't do this. You can't make him into a god. You can't worship him on Yom Kippur." And on Yom Kippur, they slay him in the temple.
The son,
Zechariah, the Kohen Gadol. Let's see if I can find it in Divrei Hayamim quickly. Because he was protesting that they were making, here we go, that they were making Yoash into a god.
What was Yoash saying?
Yoash was happy to be made into a god.
So much for him being above
the... Here we go. V'achrimot Yehoyada. After Yehoyada passed away, ba'osarei Yehuda v'ishtachvu lamelech. The nobles of Judea came and bowed to the king Yoash. And then that Yehoyada was dead, the king agreed to listen to him. And they left the worship of Hashem, and they worshipped Asherim and the idols, and they brought great anger on Judea and Jerusalem. And Zechariah, the son of Yehoyada, the high priest, stood atop the nation. He stood on a platform, and he said, "So says Hashem, why are you transgressing the mitzvahs? You won't succeed, you're leaving God." And they stoned him. Inside the temple, it was the king's decree to have him executed. And Yoash the king did not remember how Zechariah's own father, Yehoyada, had saved his life. Yehoyada had saved his life and he murdered Zechariah. And as Zechariah was dying, he was bleeding to death, he said, "Yireh Hashem v'yidrosh. God should see and demand my blood." And our tradition is that his blood stayed there next to the altar bubbling. And although they would wash down the temple, that blood couldn't be washed. And it kept bubbling. And they'd close the dam of the river that ran through the temple. And as much as they cleaned the floors of the temple, that blood wouldn't be washed. Until Nebuzaradan came into the temple and saw the blood bubbling. And he turned to the Jews and said, "What is that?" And the Jews said, "Oh, that's an animal we just slaughtered. That's why the blood's bubbling." So Nebuzaradan says, "It doesn't look that way to me. Bring me calves. Bring me ayalim, rams." And he started slaughtering animal after animal, watching their blood next to this blood. And he said, "They don't look the same." He said, "You're lying to me. Tell me the truth." And finally they told him, "There was once a prophet who warned us this day would come." And Nebuzaradan said, "I will quell his anger." And Nebuzaradan drew his sword and started murdering the rabbis, the leaders. He went after them. We'll see in a minute the Lamentations that describe it. So, what? We'll see, we'll see. Give me a minute. We'll get there. It's much more powerful if we can see it inside. So this is the lamentation over the families of priests. We move forward. So in this one, it says, "Kineirah Kohen v'Navi b'Yom HaKippurim." That's why I quoted that story. It says the people who were endowed with the five books can weep because the Kohen was murdered on the holiest day on Yom Kippur. That's when they killed Kohen v'Navi. You'll see it in Lamentations. In Eicha, when the God, so to speak, answers the Jewish people, he says, "Im yareg b'mikdash Hashem Kohen v'Navi." You ask me, how could merciful women be cooking their own children? I ask you, how could the high priest, who is also a prophet, be murdered in the temple? We move forward to the next kina. Vaykonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Jeremiah wept over Yoshiyahu. This kina is very important because this is a kina. It says that Jeremiah himself prepared this kina. Jeremiah was destroyed emotionally. He was destroyed when Yoshiyahu had died because he was the greatest Jewish leader in the sense that he made the greatest movement of tshuva, and it almost turned the tide. Yoshiyahu almost got us to overcome the decree of the destruction of the temple. And what happened was things were going so well that when the Egyptian king was on his way to war, he wanted to pass through the land of Israel. And Yoshiyahu said, when we are pious, so then it says, no sword will pass through our land. So he tells Pharaoh, he tells him, don't pass through our land. And Pharaoh says, but I'm not interested in fighting you. You know I'm going to a different war. Let me pass through. And Yoshiyahu figured, no, we're keeping the Torah. He didn't know. People behind his backs, people were playing games. They were hiding. They were, they had converted their idols into handles of doors so that when you'd open the doors, you couldn't tell it was an idol. It was split in half. And then they'd close the door and the idol would be reformed and then they'd bow to it. They played all these games to get around him, so he didn't realize the people weren't quite as pious as he thought. His education system was phenomenal. And so he didn't consult with Jeremiah. And he went ahead and he charged Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's marksmen located the spot of Yoshiyahu, and they started just piercing him with their arrows. And as he was dying, he called out, "Tzadiku Hashem kifiu mariti." God is righteous. I rebelled. I should have asked Yirmiyahu. What was I doing going out to war without asking my Rebbe? And that's how he died. And Yirmiyahu composed this whole lamentation over Yoshiyahu, as we read over here. That's the 11th lamentation over here. Okay, we move forward.
That was
what?
That was a big mistake.
Big mistake, yes, big mistake.
That one time we killed that prophet, that other prophet.
Yeah. Oholi asher ta'avta. In this lamentation, we speak about the temple being our tent. It is what gives us protection. That's this lamentation. Why is it now so destroyed? And it's a description of how God gave us this amazing tent, this amazing protection, and now look at how it's been destroyed. We're moving forward. Okay, there's...
I can't actually really remember, partially because the show that I came from, they usually skipped most of the keynote, if not all of them, but is there a trope, generally speaking?
No. So, we're going to skip forward a bit. The story is that as Jeremiah was, I want to jump forward because there are a few beautiful stories you guys should be familiar with. There's that lamentation about the martyrs, which you should read on your own, read it in English. And there's a lamentation about the pile of skulls. Let's quickly go to Lamentation 17. description of how could it be, woe to me, what's happened to me, 17. Im tochalna nashim piryam olalei tipuchim, if women ate the fruit of their own womb, the babies that they had been taken care of, alelai li, woe to me. Im tivashelna nashim achmaniyot yeladim, if merciful women are cooking their own children, who they'd measure as they grew, and every time the child would grow, drop more, they'd give that measurement of gold as dedication to the temple. Woe to me. If the heads, the hairs, the locks of hair of women and men were tied to horses, as the horses would charge forward, and this was one of the ways the Romans murdered us. Woe to me. If a child's tongue would stick to his palate out of dire thirst, woe to me. If women were talking to one another saying, let's go cook our own children, woe to me. If one goes to the other and says, how could it be you're hiding him from me? I gave you mine yesterday. How come you're not giving me yours today? I know you're keeping him hidden, cut up to pieces. Woe to me. If children look at their father, they're hiding in caves and they're thinking of eating their own father's flesh. Woe to me. If daughters are bowing into their mother's stomach as their stomachs are imploding of hunger, woe to me. If it could happen that the souls of babies are flying to the heaven as their corpses are lying swollen from hunger in the streets, woe to me. If it could happen that women are weighed down because they're miscarrying and they have no milk for their children, and as they lament over their dying sons, they're bent over, woe to me. If we could have 800 young Kohanim who were decorated in gold shields, they were trapped by the Arabs and left to rot in hunger, woe to me. If it could happen that their breath was set on fire as the Arabs purposely gave them salty food and deviously they gave them these skins inflated with hot stale air, woe to me. If it could happen that we were decimated from 1,000 to 100, 100 to 10, until we were left with but one, woe to me. If it could happen that 80,000 children of priests were murdered in one day, woe to me. If it could happen that all of them were burnt and cut down like thorns, woe to me. If it could happen that 80,000 anointed priests were beheaded in one day, woe to me. If it was found on one stone, 9 kav, that's a large volume, that's like 120 liters of brains of children that were smashed on that one stone, woe to me. If 300 children were strung up on one tree, on one branch, woe to me. If young women were held in bondage and they had no idea if their husbands were alive or dead, being led by the executioner, woe to me. If the most delicate, pampered women were put into iron chains, led into captivity, woe to me. So the conclusion is, the Ruach HaKodesh calls out to them, look at you, you were such horrible neighbors. All you do is tell me what I did to you. You don't mention that you murder a Kohen and a priest before me. And that's the conclusion of that lamentation. I want us to rush forward. We're almost out of time. There are a few more we have to, we just have to see. Need to sleep, yeah. Okay, here in Lamentation 21, the Lamentation really describes the 10 martyrs. And I think, just make a note of that, it describes the murder, the brutal murder of the 10 martyrs. Will you guys get to do that, or should I go through it with you?
Yeah, can we go through it?
Should I go through it?
One quick thing about the whole woe to me.
Yeah.
What is the Lamentation? I'm really sad.
I have to realize what's happened to me. I'm weeping over what's transpired, what's happened to the Jewish people.
What does he start with, sir?
Arzei HaLevanon, Cedars of Lebanon, goes in the order of the Aleph Beis. So you guys want us to go through it, the 10 martyrs?
Yes.
Okay, should I read the Hebrew and explain? Or do you want me to just do the English? Hebrew and explain?
We don't have long enough for the Hebrew and explain.
That's going pretty fast. Okay. Arzei Lebanon, cedars of Lebanon, that's a reference to the temple. Adirei Torah, giants of Torah. Balei Trisin, the Mishnah Gemara. They are the ones who carry the shields. The rabbis of the Talmud are described as shield carriers because in the war of Talmud, you're not trying to kill the other one. You're trying to protect your position. So their war is described the war of shields. The powerful warriors who work in purity in the Torah. Their blood was spilt and their greatness was removed. They are the holy 10 martyrs. Over them I weep and my eye overflows. Zot bezochi yezak b'marai. As I remember this, I weep in bitterness. Chemdat Yisrael kli hakodesh nezra Torah. The most desirable in Israel, the holy vessels, the crown, their glory. Torei lev kedoshim. The pure of heart, they are so holy. Metu b'mita chamura. They were killed in this vile, harsh death. They drew a lot and they said, who's the first that's going to come to the sword? When the lot fell on Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Pashat Savaro, he extended his neck, and he wept as the decree was issued. So here we have another piyut that describes how Rabbi Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, said God's secret name. He went to heaven and the angel told him, accept it because this is what was destined to you. We don't mention it here. We mention it in a different lamentation. Okay, we're going to pause for 1 minute. So, being that they understood that this was a decree from above, they didn't fight it. Not that it would have helped them too much to fight it. So then he turned to Rabban Shimon, and with his soul steeped in evil, he turned to slay him. Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who was still a descendant of Aaron, asked permission to cry over the son of royalty because Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel was the prince. Natal roshon tano ala kuvotav. He took Rabbi Shimon's head after it was cut off. He put it on his lap and started weeping. Menorah teora, you are the pure menorah. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel was so pure, his skin would radiate light. He called him, you are the pure menorah. Sameinav elinav upiv al piv ba'avah gemurah. He put his eyes on his eyes and his mouth on his mouth as he had absolute love. Anav amar, and he called out and said, Pamit Yaber Batorah, this mouth that would strengthen itself in Torah, Pitom Niknesalav Mita Meshunav Chamura, suddenly a violent and cruel death was decreed upon him. Tzivalav Shita Torah Betara Sechira. The overlord ordered to strip the skin off of Rabbi Yishmael's head with a sharp razor. Kiyam be'oro, Rabbi Yishmael fulfilled with his skin the prophecy. Amru lenafshech shechi v'na'avora. The enemy said to the soul of Israel, bend over, I want to walk all over you. Rasha ha'poshet, the wicked Roman who was skinning him alive. Et higi alimkom tefilin. When he reached the place on his head where Rabbi Yishmael would don his tefillin, mitzvat bara, that pure mitzvah, tza'ak tza'aka, Rabbi Yishmael let out such a cry, v'nizdaza olam, the world shuddered, the eretz itporera, and earth crumbled into pieces. Me'acharav eviu et Rabbi Akiva, from behind them they brought Rabbi Akiva, oker orim, who would uproot mountains in his sharpness. It was as though he could grind one in the other with his analysis. They combed his flesh with an iron comb, trying to break him. Don't forget, Turnus Rufus, the Roman governor, his wife, who he sent to seduce Rabbi Akiva, his own wife, turned on him, converted to Judaism, and married Rabbi Akiva. So the Romans had a special place in their heart for Rabbi Akiva. They tried to break him time and again. And here, in his final death, they did the utmost torture that they could. Yes?
Is this the same Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael in the Gemara?
From the Mishnah. They're quoted in the Gemara, but they're from the period of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Akiva was reading Shema as they skinned him, and his students said, Rebbe, this far, and he said, my whole life, I was waiting for this moment. Can I fulfill the responsibility I have to express my love to my Creator? And his soul went out, as he said, Echad, Yatzta Nishmato Be'echad, Uvat Kol Amera, heavenly voice proclaimed, Ashrecha Rebbe Akiva. Praise to you, Rabbi Akiva, Gufchato b'chol minei tahara. You purified your body with every type of purity. Ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda, the great Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, achara v'viu, they brought him after Rabbi Akiva, b'shivon lev azara. He was a man who was humble in his heart, and he was scrupulous in his care of observing mitzvot. Ne'erag ben shivim shana, he was murdered at the age of 70, bidei arura, at the hands of the murdered nation, at the hands of the cursed nation. Yoshev betanita ya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba was a man who would fast. Naki, he was clean, vechasid and pious. Bimlachtol amara, he would do his service always quickly. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was next. They ordered his daughter placed in a brothel. They brought him. Acharav makil keilot b'tzion shara, he would gather crowds to study Torah with him at the gates of Zion. Yoshev v'doresh v'sefer Torah imo, whenever he was teaching, he'd have a Torah held by him. V'kifu b'chavlei zmora, they surrounded him with bundles of vine, of wet branches. Etauri tzitu v'hem, they lit the fire in these branches. Uchachu b'sefer Torah, then they wrapped him in the Torah scroll that he would always teach, so that he would have a slow death as the fire caught, and he would watch the Torah burning with him. Our sages say that as he was burning, his students saw him watching something, and they asked him, Rebbe, what are you doing? And he said, I see the scrolls burning, but the letters are floating in the air. Don't you see the letters are flying? They're not burning the letters. That's the eternal message Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava left us with. He said, they can break us, they can burn our Torah, they cannot burn the words of the Torah. As much as we've been persecuted, the words are still floating in the air. So they put sfugin shel tzemer inichu al libo. They took wool, soaked it in water, placed it on his heart. Shelo yamut meherai, should not die swiftly. Chassid Rabbi Yesheva v'sofer, the pious one Rabbi Yesheva, the scribe, Aragu Amamora, he was killed by this cursed nation, descendants of Sdom and Amora. Zraku v'shluchu laklavim. They took this pious one, they threw him to dogs. Velo ukbar bikvura, he never got a proper burial. Yatztabat kol alav shlo iniach klum mitorat Moshe leshomra. Heavenly voice came out and said, he didn't miss a beat, he didn't miss an iota of Moshe's Torah. He kept it all. V'acharav Rabbi Chutzpit b'yom evra. And then in their anger on that day, they killed Rabbi Chutzpit. Of ha-poreach nisraf ba'avel piv kevam dora. A bird that would fly next to him as he was learning Torah would be burnt from his purity as he was learning. Tzadik Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua b'achona ne'erag b'madkira. The pious one Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, he was killed last as they stabbed him. Yom Erev Shabbat Ayah, it was Friday afternoon. Zman Kiddush, as they were murdering him, stabbing him to death, it was Friday afternoon, the time for Kiddush. Vaykadesh vaykra, and as he was dying, he started saying Kiddush, and he said, Yom HaShishi, Charvu Shalfu Alav, Velo Nichu B'chaim Legom Ra. They drew their swords and they kept stabbing him. They wouldn't let him live to conclude his Kiddush. Yetzta Nishmato, his soul left, Bivara Elokim, as he said, this is the world that God, who brings exacting justice, created. Yotzer v'tzar tzura, he was admitting that God gave every form on earth. Kahena v'chahena osifu bnei avla la'anot bigara. In this way and that way, these people who have no fear of sin continue to torture as they yelled at us. Biskila, srifa, herek v'chenek, stone us, burn us, slice us, choke us. Who can evaluate how much they killed? Noteret mimena yochelu arayot sef zura. Whatever they left behind, there were other lions who came and consumed the people of Israel, who are compared to sheep that have been scattered. These different lions have been tearing to shreds the remnants of the people of Israel that are compared to the pieces of meat that are offered to a Kohen. Yetiv Hashem, we ask Hashem, do good upon us. Don't continue to torment us. Ametz birkaim koshlot, strengthen our knees that are weak. Chelek Yaakov u'moshiach betzara, you are our portion. We turn to Hashem in spite of it all. We turn to you, save us in our time of affliction. Letzedek imloch melech, yomar shalmu yemei evlech. For the sake of righteousness, we turn to Hashem and we say, we want you to be king and rule over us. And you will say to Israel, your days of mourning have come to a close. Leoro nisa venelech, we look forward to traveling in Hashem's light. So that's the amazing lamentation about the 10 martyrs.